Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. When I say we cannot do at the Christian Research Institute what we do without you, that is no trite expression. Without you standing shoulder to shoulder with our staff at the Christian Research Institute, we simply have to abandon radio stations. Our voice simply becomes muted. That is why it is so critical that you stand with us financially as well as prayerfully. I think about the work we're doing around the globe and how necessary the information of the Christian Research Institute is. That information is desperately needed on the mission field. Just one more reason we ask you to stand with this ministry again, prayerfully and financially. The gospel's free. As I've said so often, someone has to put in the plumbing. We're asking you right now to stand with us. Whatever you could do would be deeply appreciated and used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they are standing by. 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Also, when you join the Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. A lot of you hanging on. Joanne First, Union, New Jersey. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my question.
You're welcome.
I've been reading Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, and I had a question whether this was about us not having Christmas trees.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, you got to keep reading. If you keep reading, you'll see in that passage it says, like a scarecrow in a melon patch, their idols cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. So the emphasis in Jeremiah has nothing whatsoever to do with Christmas trees. Rather, it is a reference to wooden idols. Christmas trees originated in Christian Germany 2,000 years after Jeremiah's condemnation of man-made idols. So this, of course, has nothing to do with Christmas trees.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying that for me.
You got it. Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Now back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Janiel, Waterloo, Illinois. Hi.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. I want to first compliment you for all that you do. And I also want to compliment your staff. Every time I've called or emailed you guys, you've always sent us back. You always sent me back right away. So one thing I want to say is I'd like to become a financial donor.
Oh, bless you.
So after we're done, I'd like you to send me to them so I can financially donate.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. My question is, the mark of the beast is on the forehead, and
yeah,
so is the mark of God. Now, when I tell my son I'm going to spank you, he doesn't look at me back when he's bad. He doesn't look at me back when I do a mistake. He says, I want to spank you. Why are the marks the same?
Well, Janiel,
one
is a parody of the other in the real sense of the word. I mean, if you look throughout the scriptures, this sense of being marked by the Lamb or being marked by God, that sense is communicated throughout the Scriptures. So your forehead symbolizes your worldview. Your hand symbolizes what you do. So what you believe and what you do marks you as either belonging to God or belonging to the Prince of Darkness. So the mark of the beast, in essence, is just a parody of the mark of the Lamb.
Oh, thank you. Can you transfer me now, second, Tony?
Thanks, Janelle. Appreciate your call. Hang on, and someone will pick up. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ben, listening in Roswell, New Mexico, on the web. Hi, Ben.
Hey. Hey, I had a question for you. I'm traveling right now. I've been listening to podcasts all day, yours included, obviously. And a caller called in. They were speaking about the Holy Spirit, and you talked about the difference between indwelling and infilling.
Yeah.
And my question is, based off of that, what's the difference between indwelling and infilling pre-Pentecost and post-Pentecost?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You see this special anointing or infilling with the prophets and the priests and the judges. For example, the Spirit within Joshua, or the Holy Spirit within Moses, or a lot of other examples in the Old Testament. So the prophets and priests had a special anointing. But what's really interesting, when you get to the New Testament, the same language that was used for the priesthood in the Old Testament is now applied to the people of God in the New Testament. So we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. We are infilled with the Spirit, and therefore those who have been empowered to communicate the gospel throughout the earth. The idea is this: when Jesus talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, he was not implying that the Holy Spirit was not already here, but that the Spirit was to come in the sense of empowering or infilling.
Okay. All right, that's all I needed. Thank you very much.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. Talk to Brant in Iowa. Hi, Brant.
Hi, Hank. Appreciate you taking my call this afternoon.
My pleasure.
My question for you is just in regards to a book. I'm a little just curious on your take on it. The book is The Bondage Breaker, and it's written by Neil T. Anderson. And I would just, I'd enjoy your input on that. And you think it's a sound book or not?
No, it's not sound at all. In fact, in the book, he describes how the forces of darkness targeted him personally for proposing to expose Satan's strategies. And so he says he stepped out of the shower one day and he found several symbols that were traced on his fogged up mirror. And then he went to eat breakfast. And as he was sitting in the kitchen, he was suddenly bitten by some demons. He looked down to see what appeared to be bite marks on his hand. And then he assaulted the forces of darkness by saying, "Is that the best that you can do? Is that your best shot? And do you think these symbols on the mirror and bites are going to keep me from giving my message? Get out of here." So that's how he dispelled with the forces of darkness. And this is sheer superstition. In fact, I, to my great chagrin, was listening as I was traveling to the Catholic station on Sirius XM. And while I was listening, they had a Neil T. Anderson type who was talking in the same vein as Neil Anderson does in The Bondage Breaker. The problem is that he's bought into cultural norms, the fascination with the demonic, such that he believes that demons can manufacture fangs and then bite someone in the arm. And if that is in fact true, we would lose epistemic warrant for the resurrection itself, because if Satan has creative power such that he can create teeth and bite or create a finger by which he can scrawl, then he could have masqueraded as the resurrected Christ. In biblical spiritual warfare, what we're told is to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand. And after we've done everything to stand, which is to say, if we put on the full armor of God, we're invincible in the invisible war. If we don't, we're guaranteed casualties. So, no, it's not a sound book. It is a delusional book. and something that has great consequences if you follow its principles and procedures, which are thoroughly unbiblical.
Okay, I appreciate your input on that. But do I have a quick second for one more question?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
I just was curious. Would you have any book that you would recommend on the topic of forgiveness?
Yeah, you know, one of the books that I've written, in fact, is the companion to The Covering, which deals with spiritual warfare. So I wrote The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, but it was the second of two books, the first of which was called The Prayer of Jesus. And in The Prayer of Jesus, I deal with the issue of forgiveness. And in simple terms, forgiveness is always a two-way street. It takes someone that is wanting to be forgiven and someone who is willing to be forgiven. And when that happens, then reconciliation can take place. Our obligation as Christians is to be willing to forgive. The operative word again being willing.
Okay. Thank you very much, Hank. I appreciate your time. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Brant. Appreciate your call. We are coming up to the station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
Being asleep at the wheel is dangerous. In fact, it can be downright deadly. That should be a wake-up call to Christians who are dangerously asleep at the wheel when it comes to wokeism. It's a deadly ideology that permits no discussion or debate. Simply obey or else. Make no mistake, people who are tolerant of such madness and incivility aren't being gracious. They are being dangerously and perhaps fatally naive. So grave are the threats of wokeism to civilization as we have known it that we have dedicated an entire special edition of the Christian Research Journal to analyzing this now rampant social and mental disease. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world.
In Has God Spoken? Memorable proofs of the Bible's divine inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Next up is Ralph. He's listening in Pratt, Kansas. Hi, Ralph.
Hi there, Hank. I appreciate you taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've got kind of a two-part question. I was listening to you the other day, and you was talking about rewards in heaven and also different levels of punishment in hell. I don't really understand that too much. I don't understand how much more of a reward can you get other than heaven? I mean,
yeah, well, rewards involve both enlarged responsibilities in eternity as well as enhanced spiritual capacities. So the capacity for enjoying music would be greatly enhanced if you mastered a musical instrument. And I think in a similar sense, the work we do here and now will greatly enhance our capacity for enjoying eternity. And Paul says as much when he says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. That, of course, is not speaking of the reward as salvation, but rather the rewards of service. And this is something that Jesus augments continually in his message. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The rewards are also given to us in various metaphors. So there is the reward that is given as a crown of glory or a crown of righteousness, the crowns themselves symbolic of reward.
All right.
I wrote a whole chapter about this in my book, Resurrection, as well as Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences.
All right. How about the different levels of punishment in hell?
Yeah, I mean, we can deduce that a garden variety pagan is not going to suffer the same torment as someone like Stalin or Hitler. God is the righteous judge of the universe. And so as you read through the scripture, you find that those who had Messiah in their midst, those who had requisite knowledge, are more culpable than those that did not. The brighter the light, the more you have to try to obscure it. And so when God gives you light and you reject that light, you're held accountable for it. Something that, again, I've written about in Afterlife.
All right.
Appreciate your call.
I appreciate you, too. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ralph. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Gary. He's listening in Lowell, Arkansas. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Hank. I've got a question to ask about the covenant that God made with Abraham. At what point in time did this covenant leave the Jews and move to the church? When did church become the actual true Israel?
Well, I think it never did. The church has not replaced Israel. The church is part of true Israel. If you look at 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, Peter there makes it clear that there is no distinction between Israel and the church. In fact, he uses Old Testament expressions to describe New Testament Christians, many of whom are Gentiles. He calls them a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, and therefore therefore, what the Old Testament says about Israel can now be said of the church. There simply is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. In fact, Paul calls that the mystery. The mystery of the gospel is that the two have become one. But if you look throughout the entirety of Scripture, this is precisely what you find. The Scriptures are emphatic, which is to say that God does not show favoritism, that God is most certainly not a racist that chooses people on genealogy basis or on the basis of their heritage or their ethnicity. Rather, God chooses people based on faith in Him. And therefore, you find Rahab, who is a Canaanite in the Old Testament, as true Israel. Ruth the Moabite as true Israel. In fact, in the lineage of Jesus Christ, I think one of the most telling passages is Esther chapter 8. The nations are looking on. They see Esther raised up as the means by which God sovereignly saves the Jews. And then the text tells us on that day, many different people from many different nations became Jews. How did they do that? Well, they believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and they were brought into all the types and shadows pointing forward to Jesus Christ. So it's never a function of ethnicity. It's not a function of your status in life. It's not a function of gender. If you are in Christ, as Paul makes very plain in Galatians chapter 3, then you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. Because as Paul makes plain, Jesus Christ is the only seed of Abraham, the double entendre being that if you're in Christ, then you too are a seed of Abraham. So Paul says seed singular, not seed plural. So I don't think we ever want to be the kind of replacement theologian that a John Hagee is, where he believes Israel is going to replace the church as the focus of God's plans during the tribulation. I don't think we should ever get into this game about one replacing the other.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you. And I've misunderstood some things that you said. And God bless you, man. I enjoy your program. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
God
Gary.
God bless you. Have a good evening.
You as well. Ernie Nick, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Ernie.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hey, Hank. I'm in the study of Exodus with Moses, and we're going through all the plagues. The multi-plagues that were so horrific. My question is, why is that not written anywhere in the Egyptian history books?
Yeah, I think one of the things that lends real credibility to the Exodus account of the plagues is the Merneptah steel. And I write about that in my book, Has God Spoken? It is unlikely that Jews invented the Exodus. It would be just as unlikely that they invented the Holocaust. As it turns out, archaeology provides a wholly plausible framework for the Jewish contentions regarding their slavery and their emancipation. I think the first of which is the Exodus account of Egyptian slave masters using the children of Israel as forced labor in producing mud bricks. Archaeologists have uncovered a tomb schematic which actually shows Semitic slaves making mud bricks at the Egyptian city of Thebes on the Nile. But there is a whole lot more. I don't have the wherewithal to recall it all off the top of my head, but I wrote about it in a lot of detail in Has God Spoken?
All right. Hey, Hank, thank you very much for all you do. God bless you.
God bless you as well. Savina next in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi.
Hi there. I started listening to you a little while ago, late in the afternoon when I'm driving around, so it's always in my car. So my question is, and I'm new, I guess you could call me a newborn something, so I'm getting into Christianity and trying to, you know, read the Bible, and that's why I find you so interesting, because it's really hard to understand, and I'm really trying to, you know, incorporate what's in it into my daily life and how I think and how I perceive the world, et cetera. But a thought popped into my head the other day when I was listening to you, and it was, what if the Bible was never written?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question, Savina. Think about it this way. All of us have the light of creation as we look around ourselves at the universe that God has created. We know there has to be a universe creator. Not only that, but God has written a knowledge of himself upon the tablet of our consciousness. And there was a time in which oral tradition was passed on from one person to another. That didn't mean there weren't written repositories, but the truths of God were passed on. God actually revealed himself directly to a people. Now, God works through means, and it was his supreme wisdom to work through the written word as well, which is to say that God, in a very miraculous way, preserved the word. I talk about that in Has God Spoken? But the fact of the matter is, God not only preserves his word, but he also has sent the word, the Logos, the second person of the Trinity. So God himself condescended to cloak himself in human flesh so that we could know him. But yeah, God works through means. He doesn't have to. He can reach people without normative means, but he has chosen to work through means, and one of those means is to reveal himself, to condescend to reveal himself, as it were, to us, and he does that in his word and demonstrates that the word is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, so we can legitimately bow our knee before God's self-revelation to us. Unfortunately, Savina, going to have to leave it at that. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to being right back here next time with more.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
If you're not horrified, you should be. Because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.